Let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer, and then we'll have a brief message. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you're in the business of saving lives and changing lives. That's why we're here. You change lives. And no matter, Lord, where our life is at, no matter what our challenges are, our problems are, our issues are, our background is, you're able to do something profound and new and significant in each and every life. There is no difficulty that you cannot handle. There's no problem that you cannot help us overcome. And all throughout this auditorium, Lord, and actually throughout this world, a story after story after story of men and women's lives destroyed by sin. But Jesus Christ changed them, healed them, and put them on a new path to life. Father, we ask you tonight that you touch each of these lives this evening. Tim and Nick and Serena and Raina, we ask you to pour out your grace upon their life in this journey as they follow you. Keep them close to you. Keep all of us close to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, obviously, I'll only be able to begin this series, but I want to explain it to you just a little bit, okay? So a few weeks ago, I did the series called How to Become the Spiritual Leader of Your Family. And I was speaking especially to the men. So now it's my turn to speak especially to the ladies. It's always with a little fear and trepidation that I do this. I want you to know that. The greatest criticisms I've had in my ministry in 30 years have all been almost exclusively from ladies. I don't know exactly why. Maybe because I'm just kind of a nut. Ladies tend to have very strong opinions today in the world in which we live, and they have very strong opinions about the topic that I'm going to share with you. So I thought the best way that I can introduce this is let you know that I'm going to teach you from the Bible. And you're more than welcome to write me any questions you might have, mark@rockthechurch.com, and I will do my best to answer them. But just as I did with the men, what I'm trying to help them understand is, what does God want with my life? What has God designed me for? And so what I want to try to do with you ladies is help you understand the unique and significant reason for which you were created. Now, this always brings up a dilemma because obviously I'm focusing on the family. The majority of men and women in this room will grow up someday as you get a little older and you'll marry. Not everyone will do that. So I don't want you to walk away and think to yourself, well, I guess since he's talking about wives, this doesn't apply to me. Because it does, and you'll understand that as we go through this. But what you need to understand is this. God, in the very beginning, created man. We are a creationist church. We believe the scriptures. The God who rose Jesus from the dead, the God who parted the Red Sea, simply spoke the world into being. And in 6 days, he made all that you see, and on the seventh, he rested. He made man, and he put man in the land that he made, and he told man, he gave man a mission and told him to cultivate the garden, name the animals. But then God said, it is not good that man is alone. I will make him a helper suitable just for him. The Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament, now track with me, this is very important, man was not created for woman, but woman for man. I also want to make it very clear that nowhere in the Bible does the scripture teach us that woman is inferior to man or man superior to woman. We are equal in the eyes of God, but we are uniquely and significantly created by God for a complementary relationship, which has profound implications in the world that we live in. I shared with you a few weeks ago. I'm going to share this again, and I challenge you to think about it. Just think about it. You may not agree with it, but that's okay because I know it's the truth. You could significantly, like, not totally to zero because we live in a sinful world, but you could almost reduce all social problems that we have today in our society, all the gang issues, empty out most of our prisons if every young man and woman in this country grew up with a spiritually minded, godly father who was emotionally engaged with their children, who was leading them spiritually, being a godly example in his own life, and a Proverbs 31 wife in the home. It's transformative. You could almost do away, not exclusively, because we still have sin in the world, with the entire obesity issue that is killing people in America if you had a devoted Proverbs 31 wife in the home, as we see in the scriptures, who's looking out for the health and meal preparation of her family's good. We're talking massive societal shifts from the simple cellular structure that God designed for a healthy human being in a godly father and a godly mother. And instead, we live in a Kim Kardashian world. And it is mind-blowingly destructive. It's mind-blowingly destructive. So, I want to introduce this by just reading this to you. Most women today, not all, do not comprehend the unique and significant reason they were created by God and the God-ordained role that they can play in their husbands' and children's lives. Though most of us grew up with a mom, very few grew up with a Proverbs 31 woman in their life. This kind of woman is of tremendous value in God's eyes and in the lives of her husband and children. And our families desperately need Proverbs 31 wives. There's no greater blessing to a husband and to children than to have a Proverbs 31 woman in their life. I'd like to read this text to you so that you understand what I'm saying. I also want you to know, you may not know this, that this teaching, this word from the inspired word of God actually came from a woman. She was the mother of King Lemuel. The word Lemuel means devoted to God. She raised her son to be a godly king and a godly man, and that he became. And we start in chapter 31. And he says this: "These are the sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my promises, do not spend your strength on women, on those who ruin kings." Oh my gosh, how many a young man needs to hear that? I can't tell how many young men's lives I deal with and have over the last 30 years of my life and witnessed firsthand the destruction that their addiction to women has brought to them. Whether women in the flesh or women in their sex tapes like Kim Kardashian or on their cell phone or on their computer or in the magazine on the rack, they will destroy your life. And they will sap your vigor and your strength. And that's one of the first lessons the King Lemuel's mother taught him, because she knew the kings are privileged. The kings, many a king has ruined his life. Many a political figure, governmental official, and man has ruined his life chasing women or a woman. And that's not God's intention. Then she tells him, "Who can find an excellent wife, a virtuous and capable wife?" I think you'd find it very interesting to Google later on your computer or your phone, whichever you use, the word virtuous. Wow. Look up in the thesaurus. That's not an easy one to say. I have to work on that. You find out how many synonyms, what are the antonyms of the word virtuous. It's a little bit mind-blowing. We don't use that word very much today. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to look on any television. With Hulu, Netflix, and 185 channels on your DirecTV, it'd be very difficult for you to find one virtuous woman. One. It's very difficult. It's very difficult, in fact, to even think of a national role model of a woman devoted to her husband and her children. Lots devoted to the careers, but to their husband and their children. Who can find a capable wife, a virtuous wife, a woman, the Bible says, with strength of character? That's what the Berkeley Version says. Who can find a woman with strength of character? She is worth more than precious jewels. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly bless his life. She will never hinder him, but help him all of her life. I'd like to read this to you from my little New Testament. I carry this around with me. I read it often. And I like the way it says this. Who can find a wife with strength of character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will never lack good. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but I'm just going to read the rest of this to you for just a moment, okay? She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She gets up before the dawn to prepare food for her home, her household, and plans the day's work. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. She's energetic and strong, a hard and diligent, disciplined worker. She watches for bargains. Her lights burn into the night. Now remember, the night in those days, we're not talking she's up till midnight every night and she's up at 3 every morning. This is not what we're talking about. If we didn't have street lights, it gets dark around here right about 5:30. She extends a helping hand to the poor, and she opens her arms to the needy. She's a compassionate woman. Compassion, by the way, is not based on her temperament or personality. One of the things I want to make very clear is we're not going to talk about temperament and personality in this series. We're going to talk about achievable character. Character that can be aspired to, striven after, and gained as part of the birthright of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. And godly character can be produced in your life. She has no fear of winter for her house because all of them have warm clothes. Her husband is well known and he sits in the council meetings. He's a leader. She makes belted linen. She's clothed with strength and dignity. And she laughs and is optimistic with no fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise. And kindness is the rule when she gives instructions. She carefully watches all that goes on in her home and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous, capable women, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting and does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for the good she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I want to start with the end in mind. What we're going to talk about is what does a woman who fears the Lord look like? What does a woman who fears the Lord look like? Now, I have had the privilege, I can tell you this firsthand, that the greatest blessing in my life, apart from Jesus, he's first, has been my wife, Kathy. This May will be 37 years. She's been in my life almost 39. She has enriched my life. I would not trade Kathy for $100 million. That's really the truth. Someone would have said to me when I was a young man, look, you can have her or we'll pay $100,000 every year for the rest of your life. I take her. She's not perfect. She's a sinner just like I'm a sinner. But I'm telling you, I have experienced what it's like to have a Proverbs 31 wife in my life. And as this series goes on, I'm going to share with you some of the very practical ways that Kathy has really had a powerful, transformative effect on my life. And I'll contrast how she was in certain situations with how typically I have observed other ladies over the years respond. Her response was very different. There's an old saying, I don't consider myself great, but the saying goes, behind every great man of God, there's a greater woman. Today I was sitting in one of the chairs that we have in our house. It's in this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just kind of this loft room. And I was sitting in the chair where I sit to get ready for, after I've showered and shaved. I always shower and shave for you guys. I do that at 3 in the morning, and then I do it on Fridays every night about 5:15. I just want to come fresh, ready to go. And I was looking up a couple verses, and I'm pulling up my wife's Amplified Bible. Then I grab her Living Bible. I kid you not, there are three Bibles. And I'm turning every page, and I'm trying not to get emotional. No matter what page I turn, there's lines and markings all over her Bible, three of them. The Amplified Bible, oh, there's the Living Bible, oh, and there's the New and Living Translation Bible. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I am so proud of this woman. This woman fears God. She loves God. She's devoted to the Word of God, and because of that, God's Word has molded her into a certain kind of person. And I can say, honestly, she has done me good for 37 years. And she still does me good. She still does me good. She's been the richest blessing of my life. I want to ask you to think about a couple things, all right? The woman who fears the Lord is not consumed by her outer beauty. This is very important to understand. We live in a world that completely judges women on the outside. It's the opposite of God. It's the opposite of God. I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't mean the devoted Christian woman just is lazy and sloppy and ignores her appearance. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm saying that she could care less about the Beyoncés and the Kim Kardashians and the Jennifer Lopez's of the world. She's not into that. That's not what she's about. She's about her inside. She's about her character. She understands what's valuable in the eyes of God and actually in the eyes of her husband. A woman who you can trust. I want to talk about that for just a moment. I don't have very much time. There's an awful lot, so the next couple weeks we'll get into this, but I want to talk about this briefly. I love this passage that says the heart of her husband trusts her because she does him good and not harm. I want you to ask yourself this question. How many of you, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, just want you to remember, how many of you grew up with a domineering woman and a passive father? Probably, if I had your hands raised, it'd be almost every person in this room because that's the norm. Kind of a passive dad, and kind of a domineering woman. One way or another, they dominate. They dominate. He doesn't think fast enough. He's not decisive enough. He doesn't get this done enough. If I want anything done, I got to do it anyway. And a guy, he just kind of sits back, and eventually, many men just get tired of being browbeaten. They get tired of getting put down, and they just don't do nothing, which is the opposite of being the spiritual leader of your home. But I want to ask you this question. Do you help him or do you harm him? What about your mouth? What about your words? What about your words? Do your words help him or harm him? Do your words encourage him and bless him or do they hurt him? Here's something I've noticed. And again, as Nick said, I'm going to always speak very frankly with you. I have noticed that many women, once they become mothers, are far kinder to their children than they are to their man. I have made a consistent observation over the years of my life. My wife and I have even talked about this. She said, you know, Mark, I think one of the reasons is because our children, we kind of view them as innocent. They come out of us. You're an adult. You know better. You shouldn't hurt my feelings. So we tend to be kinder and speak kinder to our children than we do to our husband. I want you to know, that's not right. It's not right. It's not God-honoring. And I'll tell you another secret. It'll come back to bite you. Here's how. Eventually, your child, your children, pick up on the fact. They reach an age where they start to see the dichotomy, and they realize you disrespect Daddy often with your mouth. And you know what Proverbs promises? The child will become a rebel. The child will become a rebel. Because, now this is very important. And again, I'm going to have to get more into this next week because this is the part you're going to go, okay, there he goes, he just said it. The head of every man is God. The head of every woman is her husband. Man is under the authority of God. His wife is under his authority. Your children are under both the parents' authority. And a child learns how to interact with authority based on mama and her relationship with dad. And if she sees regularly, she just kind of says whatever she wants, spews out at dad, who's the head of the home, the child will pick up those attitudes. And I guarantee you, in their teenage years, you'll be dealing with a rebel. And that's what Proverbs teaches. And it will pierce your heart, moms. It will break your heart when you think, I was so loving, and I love that child, and I was kind, but you got to step back right now. You got to step back right now and go, wait a minute. How do I treat dad? How do I treat the man God gave me? How do I interact with him? Do I show him deference? Do I show him respect? This is incredibly important. This woman is a great blessing to her husband. She is never a hindrance to him. Rather, she believes in him. She helps make him great. She doesn't tear him down with her words or belittle him or degrade him. This is one of the great reasons he trusts her so much. She is completely worthy of her husband's trust and confidence. Notice that she is first a great wife before she is a great mother. Often I see ladies who treat their children so kindly and thoughtfully, but are unkind or inconsiderate or even mean to their husbands. We're going to get into this in the weeks to come. We're going to talk about the mouth. The average male speaks about 10,000 words a day. The average female about 20. That's the average. But ladies, today we have a new form of mouth. It's called texting, email, and Facebook. I want you some time to go back and read your post. I want you to go back some time and read your own text and ask yourself, are my texts, are my emails, are my Facebook posts representative of a woman who's dignified? Are they representative of a woman whose kindness is the rule for everything she says? Are my posts wise and would they build others up? Or are they frivolous and nonsensical and silly and vain? Think about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to take the scriptures this week, and I'd like to encourage you, read over Proverbs 31 yourself. Go to BibleGateway.com, read it in 20 different versions. At least read it in two. And begin to reflect, because I'm going to share with you over the next several weeks, how do I grow in these areas of my life? And I'm going to share with you some really neat stories that will illustrate how I observed my wife doing things that at the time I know they were really hard for her, but she did them, and they had a very, very profound impact on my life personally. So please take some time, read the scriptures yourself, read Titus chapter 2, read Proverbs chapter 31, read Genesis 1 and 2 so that you get God's mind and you realize, wow, Mark's really not making this stuff up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the incredible blessing of family, the incredible blessing of men and women, I personally, Lord, thank you so much for creating women and putting significant women, my mother first, God-fearing, love Christ, introduce me to Jesus Christ. I thank you most of all, Lord, for my wife, Kathy. I thank you for her love, her devotion. She has treated me, Lord, far better than I deserved. And she imitated God in her life towards me. I thank you, Lord, she kept believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. She kept praying for me. I thank you, Lord, most of all, that she loves you and fears you, and your word are her marching orders. What you say, she strives to do. And I praise you for that. Work in our lives, Lord. Build us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.